Section 3. More integrated listening and writing. Listen to the lecture and answer the questions.
When the first paper money was introduced in China 1,000 years ago, many must have thought it was just a joke. After all, who would trust his fortune in mere pieces of paper? Kublai Khan, the Mongol emperor who ruled China in the 13th century, emphasized that it wasn't a joke when he announced that those who refused to accept paper money would be executed. He also took away everyone's gold and silver, even that carried in by foreign visitors. This was the purpose of Chinese paper money, to ensure total state control over precious metals. It was, basically, a totalitarian measure. Chinese paper money worked okay for a little while. Just as governments tended to debase coins or make them less valuable, however, governments also couldn't resist printing more and more paper, regardless of the consequences. Public confidence in paper money was weak to begin with, but overprinting made it worse. Paper money had been more or less abandoned in China by the 15th century. In the meantime, the first modern banks were evolving. Money lending and similar activities were essentially as old as money itself. And there were banks in Roman times, but they were more or less local. The idea of banks as we know them, formal bureaucratic organizations that work across borders to handle savings, investments, and loans, didn't really get started until the 13th century. There were difficulties at first, but by the 14th century, Italian bankers were starting to make a success of the concept, the most famous being... Okay, who can name a famous family in Italy in the 14th century? The Medicis used metal currency, but made financial transactions using bills of exchange. Bills of exchange were documents bought for a certain price and which could then be presented to someone in exchange for a certain price. These documents could also be transferred from person to person through many hands before they brought actual payment. They weren't exactly paper money, but they were close to it, and they did a lot to make buying and selling easier. The notion of paper money began to reemerge in Europe at the end of the 17th century. According to tradition, the first European to introduce paper money was a Swedish banker named Johan Palmstruck, whose bank began to issue it in 1661. The plan went well enough at first, but then the bank ran into serious financial trouble. Palmstruck, like any good modern banker, asked the government for financial help. Unlike a modern banker, however, he was arrested and put on trial for mismanagement, and in the end, he was sentenced to life imprisonment. Despite this unhappy ending to Palmstruck's scheme, the idea was one whose time had come, and paper money was adopted by other European countries. One of the reasons for the establishment of the Bank of England in 1694 was to issue banknotes, and it has been doing it ever since. The Bank of England, incidentally, wasn't a government bureaucracy, being instead founded as a private institution under a government charter. In 1844, it was given an exclusive government charter to issue banknotes. Other nations followed England's example, establishing such central banks to control the manufacture and distribution of currency.
Number 1. What is the topic of the lecture? Number 2. Listen again to part of the lecture, then answer the question.
When the first paper money was introduced in China 1,000 years ago, many must have thought it was just a joke. After all, who would trust his fortune in mere pieces of paper? Kublai Khan, the Mongol emperor who ruled China in the 13th century, emphasized that it wasn't a joke when he announced that those who refused to accept paper money would be executed.
Why does the speaker say this?
After all, who would trust his fortune in mere pieces of paper?
Number 3. Which of the following is not mentioned in the lecture? Number 4. According to the lecture, banks. Number 5. According to the lecture, bills of exchange. Number 6. Johann Palmstruck is famous for... Number 7. According to the lecture, which is not true of the Bank of England? Number 8. What can be inferred from the lecture?